AviationPros.com is the portal website for AMT, Airport Business, and Ground Support Worldwide magazines. Visit daily for breaking news, industry blogs, and insightful articles from our magazine's editorial team. And don't forget to sign up for our publication's daily e-newsletters. It's all at AviationPros.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Aviation Pros Podcast. I'm Joe Petrie, Editor-in-Chief of Airport Business Magazine. Snow removal crews at Ted Stevens Anchorage International Airport were recently recognized for excellence in the performance of airfield snow and ice control for the 2019-20 snow season by AAAE. I recently spoke with Anchorage Airfield Maintenance Manager Jeremy Linzeth about his crew's efforts and the best practices they have to keep on top of winter weather. All right, well, thank you for speaking with me today. So I guess the first question I had is, tell me about the challenges you have keeping on top of the weather in Anchorage.
Well, our challenges here in Anchorage are primarily that, you know, we have really long winters. So, you know, typically in Anchorage, our winters start in the October timeframe and don't usually wrap up until April. And perhaps unlike some other areas of the country where, you know, you get these warm-ups, our snow that falls in October is usually here to stay for the whole winter. So we have to deal with that snow from very get-go, and we don't have the benefit of melting action usually. But like many airports, you know, the climate is changing, it seems like, and we're dealing with the warmer temperatures. Sometimes for us, that means brief periods of warm-up, and we'll get rain on top of frozen pavement, so the ice storms are more frequent. You know, fortunately, in Anchorage, we don't see significant snowfalls usually, but we do get a lot of what we refer to as nuisance storms. So these are, you know, 1-2 inches of snow at a time, you know, storms that last for 3 or 4 days at a time. This winter was, you know, a little bit above average. We had 88 inches of snow for the season, and that 88 inches, that was 38 individual snow and ice events that we had to deal with. So it was a long season for sure.
How does your team prepare for the winter season?
Well, again, like most airports, I think we start off with, you know, reviewing our snow and ice control plan. That's really the starting point. So we'll sit down as a group and go through the key elements of that plan, make sure that our crews are up to speed on the different responsibilities that we have. The other thing that we try and do is, you know, we always incorporate into those meetings lessons learned from the previous season. So what did we do right the previous year? What did we need to improve upon? You know, some of this involves looking at our accident and incident data. And this is always a good starting point to see, okay, where did we damage equipment the previous year? And what were some of the elements and the reasoning behind that? So as a group, we'll go through all those and say, you know, we hit this sign 3 times. What was the reason for that? And what can we do to prevent that in the future? You know, then it evolves into equipment drills. Even in August and September, you know, we'll start breaking out the core snow removal fleet and getting it out there, exercising it, setting up some practice drills, working as a team as we get our seasonal employees to come back on. You know, we incorporate them into that as well. We'll put everybody in buses and get them out there and, you know, talk about key areas and key techniques that we use. Make sure that everybody understands the lingo. It's just, you know, really no different than an NFL team, one player moving from one team to the next. You know, as we get new people on board, we need to, you know, ensure that we're all speaking the same language and the lingo that we're using is something that they know what we're talking to, because it is just a big giant team effort all the time.
And with that big giant team effort, how do you address the ongoing training efforts with the operators?
It's definitely challenging. I mean, it's the human factors that are the most challenging piece of any snow removal program. We have a program in place here that we call our employee development program. And what that is think of it as about 13 different modules of key snow removal pieces or procedures. So these modules are kind of like a lesson plan for everybody to go through. It doesn't matter whether they've been here a week or if they've been here 10 years, everybody will follow this same module. And what this module contains is it's a 3-part module. It contains a study package. So sitting down, reviewing the manual, reviewing any type of video material that we have on it. They'll move on to a written portion of the test to test them on the material that they've reviewed. And then the final and most important piece is a practical skills on evaluation. So you know, once they've had an opportunity to go through that material, they'll go out with a foreman or a lead person, and they'll run them through a couple scenarios that are already pre-laid out and test them on their actual application of the knowledge that they reviewed. So it might be that, for example, if it's a snowblower module that they're going through, you know, we'll ask them to go out in the field and simulate, you know, how they would do it, where they would cast the snow, what precautions they need to take when they're out there. It'll ask them, you know, some questions about the machine. So really it gives people an opportunity to, you know, not just do book learning, but to be tested on the actual application of it. And this isn't just a one-time thing. We encourage employees to go back through this year after year to improve upon their score. It really provides an objective gauge of where our folks are at and ensure that everybody is getting the same level of training.
I understand Anchorage has never closed for snow. Can you share the maintenance routine your crews undertake to make sure equipment is ready to go when an event occurs?
Well, we're fortunate to have a very modern fleet of snow removal equipment. You know, our snow removal fleet is made up of approximately 80 pieces of equipment. The average age of that equipment is approximately 7 years. So in the industry, I think that's, you know, quite modern. Every piece of that core group undergoes a preventive maintenance inspection. So it doesn't matter if it's a primary piece or a secondary piece, and if the previous season it was only used 10 hours or if it was used 300 hours, it's going to go through that inspection prior to the season starting. Some of the things we do is we maintain, you know, a critical item inventory list. So in Alaska, you know, we're separated from many of the major manufacturers of this stuff, and it takes time for critical parts to get here. So through experience over the years, we know that we know what areas and what items we tend to run out of. We don't ever want that to be a stumbling block to our seasons. We try and keep that list up to date, keep that inventory stocked, and ensure that we don't have interruptions to that. But throughout the season, you know, daily inspections are critical. You know, even if we're not actively using the equipment, every day that equipment will be inspected to ensure that it's ready to go. If we have, you know, long breaks in winter weather where we go a couple weeks without a storm, that doesn't stop those inspections. They'll still be taking place to ensure that, you know, batteries or current equipment is ready to go. We're also very fortunate to have modern storage facilities. So we have warm storage capability for pretty much all of our fleet, and that keeps it indoors, out of the elements, and ready to go.
How have you evaluated your fleet and crew skills in recent years, and what efforts did you take to make sure that they can meet the challenges of an upcoming winter?
Well, again, it goes back to that employee development program. That's something we've been doing for 5 or 6 years now, and that's been key to, you know, just ensuring, you know, it's not just the good old boy checkoff of, you know, yep, foreman says I'm good to go. This is a more objective examination of crew skills. It also provides us a record of progress. So it lets us know, is somebody progressing or are they just staying stagnant at their skills? Are they ready to take on, you know, more complex equipment, or have they kind of reached their limit? Another thing that we've been doing for a few years now is really trying to encourage cross-training of mechanics and equipment operators. And what this is getting the mechanics into operating equipment as much as we can, or provide overtime opportunities for them to operate equipment. You know, in some respects, they have the correct licenses to operate the equipment. So by having a mechanic out there in the field, you know, it just helps them get the perspective of the operator and maybe not be so judgmental of each other. It develops a lot more camaraderie between the two groups, and it gives us more flexibility when we need extra operators and skills out in the field. We can, you know, lean on the mechanics if they're available and not tasked at the time. We're also always trying to, you know, look for continuous improvement, breaking down bubbles. A big focus of ours is to try and get people to not have tunnel vision into, you know, hey, my job's to come here and move snow, but to try and understand why they're doing certain things a certain way. You know, this might be something as simple as understanding what a Cat 2 light inspection is. You know, even though they aren't performing the Cat 2 light inspection, it's critical for an equipment operator to understand, you know, what percentage of lights can be out before we start impacting operation. Or it might be just understanding aircraft operating characteristics. You know, if a thrust reverser is out on a on an aircraft and what that means to the departure and any type of contaminants on the runway. You know, just because it's not part of their duties, it improves their performance to understand some of those issues.
Your crew has been honored for the work it does, but what areas do you still want to see more improvement?
We always need to work on standardization among the shifts. So, you know, being a 24/7 operation, you know, you tend to get three different shifts doing things three different ways. The focus is always to try and get three shifts to do things the same way. That helps when people have to stay over and work on another shift. You know, they know what to expect. It just allows us to have a much more efficient operation. We always, you know, need to look at embracing efficiencies. You know, sometimes we, with more modern equipment and bigger and more capable stuff, you know, we got to get out of that habit of, we hear it often, you know, well, this is the way we've always done it. Well, doesn't mean that's the best way to do it. So if it means that we have, you know, more capable equipment, we need to step out of our comfort zone and perhaps utilize it in a different way to accomplish things even faster. You know, we're always looking for, you know, opportunities for equipment automation. I think that's going to be, you know, key in the coming years, is to figure out, you know, how can we embrace some of those automation features that may be coming out in equipment. You know, recognizing that, you know, other stakeholders at the airport, you know, play a big part in our success. You know, if we can educate and work with our stakeholders, you know, it just improves the overall, you know, operation of how we do things.
And last question I had for you, what challenges are you trying to address looking forward, and how are you preparing for them?
Our biggest challenge in recent years has been the human factors. You know, finding qualified personnel, training those personnel to, you know, operate in a complex environment, operating complex equipment. You know, the labor market up here in Anchorage is very competitive, and, you know, we finished this last snow season with a 10% vacancy factor through most of the season, because it's such a challenge to find individuals that meet the minimum qualifications for the job. So we just always need to find a way to sell the great things about working at this airport and why, you know, opportunities here, well, you know, while they may not be the most competitive in wages, there's many other positive features of working for this, you know, great airport that we have here.
All right. Well, thank you for that information.
You bet.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. Keep up with the latest information on snow removal best practices by subscribing to the Airport Business Daily newsletter. And make sure to check out Airport Business Magazine to hear more from your peers. I'm Joe Petrie. Thanks for listening.